So we are in a season of Advent. You know, we talked about the liturgical seasons of the church, and we don't begin with January, as we've shared. We begin the Christian calendar with preparing our hearts to celebrate the coming of Christ. So we start a little bit differently than the world. But isn't that the way with the church? The things that we do in the church as followers of Christ is total, and sometimes, opposite of the way the world does things, isn't it? So as we come to church, I pray that we can open our hearts to understand this idea of preparation, to understand this this gift we've been given to follow the Savior of the world, the Prince of Peace, but what that means for us. You know, we get excited about Christmas. The world gets excited about the Christmas tree and the carols and the lights and parties. But to what end, my friends? Those do fade, right? Even the presents, they don't last. How many of you have returned presents or put them in the closet? But we won't go there. So it's not really about that. The world might make it about that. But we make it about Christ, who gives presents that last for eternity, hope, peace, joy to come, although we already have joy, and love, unconditional love in Christ. So the gifts we prepare for are different. They last forever. And so as we try to understand what that means, like what is this idea of preparation and these eternal gifts, let's pray, because these are things of the Spirit that we don't often think about. We always think about the material and the physical because that's easy. So today as we gather, let's pray for our Lord to help us understand these spiritual message. And in fact, especially what it means to follow the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Holy and gracious and amazing God, we are so blessed to be able to gather together in the midst of all the craziness of life and take a moment just to breathe. We invite your Holy Spirit in this place and your peace to enter each heart. Lord, I know the storm that's raging outside. Sometimes the storm is raging in our hearts as we deal with issues and concerns of the physical, the mental, the emotional. We don't know where to turn, but come, Holy Spirit, bring us the good news, the message of the Prince of Peace, who gives us that gift that lasts forever. In his name we pray. Amen. See, I couldn't have timed that better, right? The storm is raging outside, and while that's a physical storm, you know, rain, sometimes the storms in our life feel like that. They're overwhelming, they're relentless, and they soak us, they drain us, don't they? But this morning, it's wonderful to hear that there's good news, the great news about, what was it last week, hope, and peace, and, you know, guess which one's for joy? Pink. Right? You're pink with joy. And then, of course, love, and then the middle candle, Christ, our King. So it's great to hear about these things, but life is not a bed of roses. How many of you have a perfect life? Certainly not me. We all face challenges. And you know what? It doesn't matter how old you are. Don't discount, you know, the kids, the things that they're going through in their lives. Don't discount also senior citizens who, you know, are going through other things. We tend to think that every age, oh, you don't have to work, you don't have to worry, you don't have to cook, you don't have to worry about those responsibilities. That's not true, my friends. Each one of us has storms and problems and things that we face that can consume us. So when life stops us in our tracks, what do? When life doesn't turn out the way you want it, you know, the purpose and the plan you had for it, all these wonderful, beautiful ideas that are the marriage you're going to have that was going to be perfect, the kids, the 2.5 kids, you know, that you are all going to have, the picket fence, the perfect house. What happens when all those things don't happen? And do they really happen? No. On the surface, it might seem good to someone, but in our hearts, we ourselves know how much we're hurting. How much pain we're in when we're questioning our purpose, when we don't know how to help our child who is going through some tough stuff. When we don't know how to fix something that just seems impossible to fix. When life happens, what do we do? Where do we go to for help? And it's that moment, my friends, that we move from the physical to the spiritual. Unfortunately, when things are going well, when we're focused on the physical, we don't always take the time to spend with our Lord, do we? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm talking about myself, that, you know, when things are going well, when life is great, I'm excited, I'm good, but I don't spend as much time with God as I do when things are not going well, right? So these challenges that happen, they move us from the physical to the spiritual, because guess what? We are not a body. What we are is a spirit who has a body for a short time. Make no mistake, our bodies are not eternal. They're not going to last forever. But our spirits, however, they are a gift from God who has no beginning, no end, and He breathed life into each one of us. So our souls, our spirits, it is eternal. The physical fades, and we know that. God came. Jesus came to help us get our priorities in order and to understand that we have to feed our spirits. We have to have a connection to the one who gave us that very spirit, the one who gave us our very life, because if we don't, we're headed towards death. That's why Jesus came. You know, the Israelites, they were looking for a Messiah that would save them physically. You know, a ruler who was going to annihilate their enemies, Romans, who was going to help bring about the kingdom here on earth, you know, make it the way King David and in Solomon's time. That's not why Jesus came. And in fact, in a worldly way of looking at it, guess what? Jesus died a failure. He didn't die as a king. He died as a thief, as a criminal on the cross. So we need to understand that the way God does things, the things of the Spirit, are so different than our physical understanding, which is so limited. God has a different way of doing things. And God is calling us back to Himself. In fact, God has been calling us back to Himself from the beginning, from the moment we sinned. You know, we can't put the blame on Adam and Eve. We're in this too. We do the same thing that they did. Don't we seek after what makes sense to us? Don't we reach for the fruit that tastes good, that looks good, that you know, we desire? My friends, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but we read today from Isaiah, who lived around 700-something years before Christ. He talked about people needing comfort, people who recognize that our time on earth is limited, that all flesh, human flesh, is like grass. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It withers and fades. Yet people hear in Isaiah, because God spoke through Isaiah, about hope. They hear the message of hope and peace as Isaiah points to the coming of the Lord God, who's going to feed His flock, spiritually feed, not the physical that fades, but the eternal feeding that Christ came to give to us, who is going to feed His flock. And then gather them, pick them up when they couldn't walk on their own, who is going to comfort them. So my friends, if you need comfort today, if you're feeling like you're just lost, that where do you find hope, that it seems like you are fading away. If it feels like that, my friends, hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. He gives us a reminder of the comfort that can be found in the good shepherd who is able to cradle us and carry us when we can't walk on our own in His arms. Fast forward 700-something years later, and we hear the same message from John the Baptist. He appeared in the wilderness, and he told people that they needed to change the way they were doing things. You know what's insanity? Doing things the same way you do them and expecting a different result. Have you done that? This year, I'm going to start something new. I'm going to get more healthy. And I'm talking about me, by the way. I can't read minds, but I can read mine. And guess what? I never do it. Actually, when I came here, I said, okay, I'm going to build a routine. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get... Did I do it? No. I'm going to, though. Well, I'll try. How's that? I'll try. We all have ideas and plans and ways that we're going to do things, but unless until something changes, the result is going to be the same. So if you're finding that you're overwhelmed by life's problems, that there doesn't seem to be peace, hope in your life, there needs to be a change, my friends. Because if Christ has not been our foundation, if he has not been the source of all things, like grass, we're going to wither. Like the storm that blows about things in the wind, we're going to be blown about in the storms by whatever circumstance comes our way, going this way and that way. Yet, for those of us who know and who hear the message of Christ, who receive it, who are hungry and thirsty for it, for those of us who receive it and change our ways to doing things the way Christ teaches us, my friends, there will be a peace in your life that will pass all human understanding. See, I can tell you that, but unless you experience it yourself, you're going to have no idea what I'm talking about. It won't make any sense unless and until we ourselves allow the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to come into our hearts and help us understand and feel all these things that the world will say is crazy. And make no mistake, the world thinks we're crazy. I mean, to trust in a God who rose from the dead, trust in someone that you haven't met, the world thinks that doesn't make sense. But my friends, Jesus came. He died on the cross for our sins, and he rose. There is no way people would give their lives to share something that was false. People, don't forget, these people who gave their lives to share about Christ rising from the dead, they abandoned him while he was still alive. So what would need to change in their lives for them to proclaim a new message? Well, something extraordinary would need to happen. Something miraculous. They would need to see God in human flesh. So, my friends, that same God that rose from the dead, the same God who appeared to his disciples and said, "Peace, be still," when they were locked in that room, the same God that, I think the storm has calmed for now, that calmed the storms while they were in the boat, is the same God who wants to give you and I that peace that passes all human understanding. And I'll say this, no relationship on this earth with your parent, and parents are supposed to love unconditionally, right? But let me tell you, as a parent, my love is imperfect. No love of a spouse, no love of a friend, no love in this world, no relationship in this world is going to fill us, make us whole. No relationship on this earth, but the one that can is from our Lord Jesus. Because he died for you and I. He loves you and I that much that even when we deny him, he doesn't deny us. He keeps knocking at the door of our heart saying, "Let me in. Let the peace that I can give you that this world can't understand, receive it." But you see, my friends, you and I are children of the Holy God. That means we're not puppets. That means that you and I have a choice whether or not to receive and open our hearts to this Prince of Peace that's knocking. That's our choice. And if you are tired of doing things on your own, if you're tired of being tired, if you need hope, if you need joy, if you need peace, open your heart to the one who can give it to you. And what seems to be so important and so huge right now, and I know there are things for each one of us, something that just seems overwhelming, something that is just, you can't fix it. How are you going to get through it? Whether it's with your family, with school, with your health, with your loved one, with your career, whatever it is, my friends, don't let that overwhelm you, because that's the way of the world. Turn instead to Jesus, who is able, who is ready to give us a gift that is priceless and worth more than anything in this world. You know why the people came to John the Baptist? I mean, here's this guy, imagine this, right? Wearing a camel's hair coat, and eating wild locust and honey. So if I came to you down the aisle with this getup, are you going to listen to me? I don't know. One day I'll try. No, I won't try it. No, I'm not going to try it. No. But I imagine that those people who saw John the Baptist, some thought he was crazy. Right? But as we read in the scriptures, what happened? Some heard the news. They accepted it. They repented and they changed. And these people that gathered, there were all sorts of, all paths of life. You know, rich people, poor people, the soldiers were there. Tax collectors were there. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were there. Normal people, middle class people, all sorts of people were there. And you know what? They heard something that touched their spirits. Something that didn't make sense physically because not all repented, but they heard something that addressed a need in their life. My friends, they were hungry, spiritually speaking, and they were at a point where they knew the things of this earth would not last, that the value of the things that they put it in, it wasn't working. If you've ever been there where the things that you trusted in, that you valued, that they are no longer solid. I don't think they ever were solid, but you know, you feel the rockiness. Just the same way they heard the news and they turned to his message. And John's message was simple. Repent, because there's someone coming who can give us hope, who can help us, who will be able to give you a hope-filled, a peace-filled future. The one who would baptize, cover them with the Holy Spirit. My friends, that one came, and he's Christ. He's ready to baptize you and I and this church and this world with his Holy Spirit. He's ready to cover you and I and to give us a peace that this world can never give you. Are you ready to receive it? That's the question. At the end of the day, that's the question each one of us has to answer. Are we open to receiving Christ as our Lord? And I pray that the answer would be yes. Friends, Christ is coming. He has come because we, you know, we celebrate Christmas Eve. But what we're doing now is waiting for him to come again. So as we prepare our hearts to receive the gifts of joy and peace and hope and love, and it doesn't matter what order, because I know I messed up the order, they're here. The gifts are here for us. May we receive them with open hearts and an open spirit, so that that peace, which passes all human understanding, can be ours here and now, even in the midst of the storm that surrounds us. Amen.